Mobile, listening. VWA, Mobile, listening. Anybody out there this morning?
N4RJN, what's up, Steve?
Oh, scam, scam, scam. All the scams in the world. They're over on Mount Mitchell repeater this morning talking about all the scams. I tell you what, I've been having some fun with them.
What are they talking about?
Well, you know, where they call in and say, well, you know, your Social Security number has been used in Texas, blah, 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 and we need you to verify your Social Security number. Or, you know, the thing about the, may I speak to Don? Oh, this is not Don? Oh, well, let me tell you about the car warranty anyhow, then. I mean, just everything in the dang book.
The Social Security scam call. I went ahead just to mess with him, and she came on the line in a very thick accent, and she said, you're responding to me because you've been alerted that your Social Security number has been compromised or something like that. I said, yeah, and the recording said, press 1 for more information, so give me some information. She hung up.
Of them, I make sure if I'm in the car, you know, we got the tail squelch on the end of the 610 repeater, and what I do is I just, can you hang on a second? I need to do something. It won't take 1 second, and I hold the phone down next to the speaker, and I'll just trigger the 610 repeater, and it gives that little tail squelch. And then I get on the phone and I say, oh, by the way, now that was a tone. You're being recorded. Click.
Well, a lot of times when they, when my phone says scam likely, I'll answer the phone. Agent Smith, FBI Fraud and Abuse Hotline, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, I took out my landline when I started messing with them. My wife just shakes her head. You're having too much fun. We're getting rid of the landline. A little old girl calls in. Mr. Wilder, I'm such and such and such, and I'm with the gutter people, and blah, 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 blah. And I just go, no, 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 no. Honey, this is not what you think it is. No, no. And I bang the phone real good and hang up. In about 5 minutes, that little old girl called back. Mr. Wilder, are you okay? Do I need to talk to your wife?
A comedian, I can't think of his name. I heard him on John Boy and Billy show several times. Revenge of the Telemarketers, and it's some of his stuff is just hilarious, but I can't think of the guy's name offhand.
Yeah, I've gotten a couple of things I use on the telemarketers from those guys. Matter of fact, one of them is, you know, that ring, 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 you know, and they answer, and you answer, and, hi, my name is such and such. Well, listen, I'm right in the middle of something right now with one of my customers. Give me your home phone number, and I'll call you right back. Click.
Well, anyway, I'm waiting for the one where, you know, this is Deputy so-and-so from the Sheriff's Department. We have an outstanding warrant on you, and if you don't, you know, give us, you know, $50 or $100 over the phone, you know, we're going to come out and arrest you. I'm waiting for that one to show up. I'm going to tell them, yeah, you come on out. I'll be waiting.
Yeah. I got a 44 mag. You can have barrel for first. Oh, I tell you what. But you know what? There are people out there that fall for that stuff.
They oftentimes prey on the elderly and the woefully uninformed and that sort of thing, and they're just fishing, looking for somebody either naive or stupid enough to fall for it. And you know, they wouldn't be doing it if they weren't making money off of it.
Yeah, and you know what? The sad part about it is, a lot of those calls come out of Europe and out of China.
Called me on the Social Security scam, had a real thick Oriental accent. I couldn't place it, but yeah, it honey, you need to learn how to speak English a little bit better before you're going to scam anybody, because I can barely understand you.
Know what you mean. Well, I'm off to battery specialist this morning. My little Saturn is ailing from a battery that has just finally given it up. Man, car's 12 years old. It's on its second battery, and I'm about to put the third in. And that bad. Two batteries lasted 6 years apiece.
Expert, that sounds like the signs of a dying car.
Last 6 years? Bo, these days, if a battery lasts 6 years, you done well.
Well, I had my Jeep for 10 years, and I replaced the battery once.
Well, that's amazing. Because, you know, they'll do a 60-month prorated warranty on a battery. And generally, at about 5 to 6 years, they're going to croak on you. But that's generally. Of course, now, you don't put heavy usage on a vehicle like I do.
Well, not anymore, but back when I was working, I was, you know, driving it every day. Sometimes, for a while there, I was driving close to 50 miles one way each day, back and forth to work, so I put some fairly heavy use on it there for a while, but anymore I don't.
The longest time I was putting on, between 55 and 65,000 miles a year.
About 2 weeks to the gallon.
Wow. Yeah, you sound like David W4DJW. I think he fills up once every couple of months.
Fill up the lawnmower more often than I fill up the car.
Careful, John. I do not want to hear that four-letter word. No, I'll just spell it. W-O-R-K.
Well, you know, grass grows, what can I say?
Tell you what, I got more crap to do around my place, but, you know my building down there? I am at least making a sizable dent in getting it cleaned up and reorganized.
The workbench in the garage the other day, and I've got to the point where I can actually see it now, but, yeah, I got some more to do on that.
Your workbench at 2,400 square feet.
Yeah, I hear you. I feel for you. Not a whole lot, but I do feel for you.
You know that old saying, if you got an empty spot, you'll put something in it? Well, my building's just full of junk. I am cleaning out. I am actually hoping to get to a spot where I can put in a vehicle lift.
Tell me about that. Good luck with that. I've noticed that the accumulated stuff expands to fit the available space, so yeah, it's a never-ending thing.
I swear the junk multiplies faster than humans.
As you have, it will expand to fit whatever space you happen to have, and then multiply and overflow it.
Yep. Well, so what's on the agenda today, boss? You know, what else you got going that's going to be assuring everyone that you're a proper, productive citizen?
Well, I exited the workforce some years ago, so I'll get around to something here eventually.
Well, like I've said a few times, I'm just about at that point where I'm going to reopen my business so I can get a vacation.
Wedding planning going?
I wouldn't say that she has become a full-blown bridezilla, but she's close. I've got to meet with the sound man this weekend. He's got a sound system that he's going to use for the reception and happy hour after the actual wedding service. And I've got one or two that you know, I use for cruise-ins and such. And he wants to borrow one of mine so that he can just set it up for the service and not have to move his back and forth. Well, all right. Anything to keep the little daughter happy.
Discount for that particular privilege, or you giving it to him for free?
Well, she says that he is charging for the reception and setting up this actual service for free, so no discount.
If he was going to use my sound system, I'd charge him for it.
The actual service and the sound for the service, music for the service, was not included in what he was commissioned to do, and I guess the way she's looking at it is he's good enough to set up all the music and put it through my system for free, so, and then he's going to handle the reception, so, you know, what can I say? I need a S tattooed on my forehead for sucker.
Good luck with that. I hope everything turns out well for that.
They've even got me running bartending duty for a short time during the reception.
Well, you know, again, what can I say?
See.
Go ahead, contact.
That sounds like wedding plans to me. Say you take a big pile of money and make a lot smaller pile of money out of it.
Hey, let me tell you what. I offered the kids $10,000 that they could put on a house and just elope. You know, or we'd even just go down to the Justice of the Peace with them and put $10,000 on a house. No, we couldn't do that.
These are about 20 or 25 will cover a fairly elaborate wedding. It doesn't have to be very elaborate anymore. I think we had about 200. My daughter's 188 or so. The whole thing was probably 15 or so. And I tried to. They were originally going to have it somewhere exciting. I said, no. I said, this is going to have to be $50,000 probably, but they did have it in Greenville. But it was a good thing. I mean, it was enjoyable. But man, I tell you one thing, that's a lot of money. I didn't even add it up, to be honest with you. After a while, I just said yeah. N4DJC Friday.
Okay, and 4VWA. Yeah, I'm into it for about $9,000 right now, and I've turned the tap off. As a matter of fact, what was really funny was I had some fun out of them, and I presented them with this document for guarantee that if they divorce within the first 10 years, they owe me the $10,000 back for the wedding. They didn't think that was funny.
Guys, get back to it. I know, can't remember who else is in here, but sounded a little bit like John, but I'm not sure who it was. But anyway, I just wanted to say hello to you guys this morning. Hopefully somebody's going to cut my grass today. I got to get the groundhog out of the back here. He's a fat and he can barely waddle around.
And for RGN, yeah, my groundhog eats dandelions and crabgrass, so I let him go.
If this one would eat, we had two of them. One of the guys next door finally is up under the storage shed, and one of the guys took the smaller one out, but this big one, he or she is a little smarter. He didn't get out anywhere. They were baiting him up with cantaloupe, trying to get him out from under the shed there. But you know, they, with that shed foundation open, I said, if you move one out of those, you can move back in. They will clean off a lot down below us about a month or so ago, and I think there was one down there that had a hole down in the corner, kind of in the car down there, and had a bunch of trees on it, hadn't been developed, you know, in 25, it probably hadn't been cleared off in 20 years, I don't guess. But I think when they started working on that lot below me here, they drove at least one of them out, maybe the other one too. But, you know, it doesn't bother me much, but they were trying to get into the neighbor's house through the vent. You know, foundation vent. And I said, oh, man, if those things get up on your house, you'll never get them out. But he's not buying anything out of it. He just, he's eating all my good grass. So I don't think we got enough, you know, we got weeds, but I don't think we have enough good grass. But he seems to be picking out a patch or two. And he says that thing eats in a, he didn't get up to about 9:30 or so in the morning. He's a late riser like I am.
Hangs out under the shed out back and occasionally comes up underneath the screen-in porch. There's a void underneath there. They get up in there and then have babies, and the babies go out and start eating the dandelions and the crabgrass. So it's like, you know, you guys can have all that you want. Knock yourself out. KN4RJ and Steve, you still in there?
Negotiating a road construction project. These people are a total CF down here.
Keep your eyes on the road there, brother.
Good morning, John. Steve in 0TR Mobile, downtown Greenville.
0TR, KN4RJ, and morning. How we doing?
It's not my forte, John. I don't like it, but it's moving along at a decent pace. And not too many crazies yet this morning. Just seen one in an Audi. And he kind of helped me out coming this way. I had to go over on the west side of town to a dermatologist and get a thing burnt off my face and just headed back.
Beautiful once again. Is that what you're saying?
I couldn't hardly say. It's back by my ear. It wasn't anything really bad, but I wanted to get it checked in case it was a melanoma, you know.
Are you with you this morning?
No, she's at home getting the trash ready to go to the dump, dump, dump.
When you get back home, tell her I said hi.
Heard you, John, and thank you for that. Appreciate it. Oh, yeah, I miss my war department. She's with me at all times, but most of these doctor's offices don't allow you to have your wife with you right now.
That construction crew must have been made up of truck drivers. You know, it don't take but a single-digit IQ to do that.
To do one man's job.
I just make no comment other than what they do makes absolutely no logical sense to me.
There are one or two truck drivers on this channel that would probably disagree with you there.
Now, that's all right. We can take about 2 seconds to convince them otherwise.
There's good and bad in everything we do. Seems like the city and county employees kind of tend to be more involved in that than these people that move our products around.
Let's just say I just don't have that great of opinion of them. Because as many miles as I've driven, I've seen some of the stupidest stuff. And they're supposed to be professionals.
Well, they're road scholars, Steve. Go ahead, John.
Well, yeah, I can't necessarily disagree with that. But by the same token, I've seen, being a former motorcyclist, I've seen people do some pretty stupid things in cars near trucks that I just shake my head and back off and hope they crash. They do it behind me instead of in front of me.
Oh, I agree 100% on that. You know, that's why I run a traffic recorder. It's built into my GPS. And, man, you would not believe some of the stupidity I have recorded on that thing. It's just, like on John Boy and Billy, you just sit back and go,
And one of those things several times, and my escort radar detector, they make one. And I've seen them at Costco's and that. And I got to thinking, Tom, you're not perfect. And if you screw up and you record that, and they request it, and the insurance company gets a hold of it, that might not be in your best interest. That's the reverse theory on that. And I agree with you. They feel like these truck drivers can stop on a dime when they weigh 80,000 pounds, and they walk among us. Go ahead, John.
Well, a camcorder would make for an interesting video at your funeral, show how you died. But other than that, if I'd had one on my bike when I had my accident here last year, I might have been able to record who it was that pulled out in front of me. But other than that, I don't know. Might be a good thing, might not. I don't know.
I still ride, John, and I'm telling you, people will look right straight at you. Listen, anytime I pull up, or anytime I'm riding down the road and I see a car pull up to the road, man, I'm on it to watch them right until I get past them. I just, they will look you straight in the eye and pull right out in front of you.
That experience, Steve. I've rode many, many tens of thousands of miles and delivered papers and delivered for a drugstore for several years, and you see it all. And I think it boils down that they don't see you. One of the things I like that I've seen lately is they got a taillight that blinks in a linear deceleration mode. In other words, the harder you're stopping, the faster it blinks. And then I've seen some of the bikes that have a modulating headlight on them. And it's been proven that if people are off to the side, their peripheral vision will pick up something, like a chrome off a bumper or a flicker or something. So that modulating headlight's another good feature to have. But I don't know if they offer that or it's a aftermarket thing. I've seen some pretty crazy things on motorcycles. And down here, they're just donor cycles. I don't ride them down here. Go ahead, John.
But I exactly take a PhD to get a driver's license. So, you gotta realize what you're dealing with.
Only got out here on Wade Hampton, and things are moving on Wade Hampton. 29 here at Greer. And hey, have you guys noticed how much the traffic has decreased during the day since COVID?
No. I don't get out that much, so I hadn't noticed it.
Tom? Right in front of the Walmart here, headed for home and Taylor's. I would stop and get my prescription, but 10 will get you 20, and they ain't got it ready. So I guess I'll go on home, and the wife and I will just have to come back after a while. I had a purple spot, we'll call it, or bump on up by my ear burned off there a minute ago with cryogenic solution, liquid nitrogen. I'm just headed home from that. Send Gerald to your mobile.
Talking about that flamethrower in a can there, Tom? Man, that just burns worse than a red hot poker.
That's affirmative. He likes to hurt me. Go ahead, John.
Well, I'm back on out of here and try and do something productive today. Tom, you take care. Steve, you too. Tom's helping. Tell Bernice we said hi. Steve, you do the same. And we're going to back on out of here. KN4RJN, I am clear.
KN, always good, John. And, whenever you do get ready on that rock, just let me know. Tom, I found my loading dies, did I tell you?
No, sir. Haven't talked to you since then. You mean you found some at home or you just bought some?
Oh, no, no. Well, in that blasted building of mine, you know, when we moved up to the new house, I put up a whole bunch of junk in there. And I could not recall where I had placed my reloading dies. Well, I rummaged around cleaning and going on, and I found them yesterday. So I got my 9, I got my 44, I got 308, 23, and a 303 Brit, and let's see, 4570, a bunch of them.
You said you was going to look at those and see if you had carbide. I hope you do in that 38. If you don't, you buy a single 38 special carbide die, and if you don't like it, I'll pay you for it.
I don't have 38 357 at all, and I got to find me a set of 38 357 dies. But the way things are out there right now, I may just have to take what I can get.
No, you don't really. Look online, and if you can't find them there, go to Dillon.com, D-I-L-L-O-N. Theirs are some of the finest in the world. I've never used any better. I only have one set of them because I already had sets for the other one. But they'll have them, I'm almost certain. And it takes 4 or 5 days to get them here because they're out in Arizona. They're the ones that make that Gatling gun that you see shooting out of the side of a helicopter for the military.
You need to go over and start taking a look at some of that, Tom, because I'm going to tell you something. Midway is 45 to 60 days. Natchez is unknown when they'll get them in. Let's see, who else did I check with? Let's see, there's a couple other shooting supply houses that, you know, every one of them lead time is longer than 30 days to get a set. So I may just have to go ahead and put my order in with one of them and just take what I can get when they get in. But I'm telling you right now, you can't get stuff.
I missed the first part of that. Did you try Midway.com? They're an excellent supplier out of Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah, that's the first one I named there when you couldn't hear me. Midway, they're saying 45 to 60 days with no guarantees.
Jeez, I didn't know it was that bad. Well, look at Dillon. I give him my highest recommendation. And I don't know who makes their dies, but they are fantastic. Better than anything on the market as far as I'm concerned. There's another die, Bonanza, which you just don't see them anymore very much, Steve. I was trying to think of some of them other wild catalogs I get, but if they're that way at Midway, as big a supplier as they are, you're most definitely correct about the availability. Mine are set up on these inserts for Dillon. See, if I change calibers, I just pull two pins out and push this device in, and that device has all my dies on it. I put the two pins back in, I've changed calibers. It's that quick.
I've had a turret press in the past, and that's basically the same thing. You just buy a new plate, mount the dies in it, get them all set up. Getting them initial set up takes a little bit of time, but after they're set up, you just swap out the whole plate with all three dies on it, and you're off to the races. And that is a pretty good way to do it.
Yeah, so I have a setup for those. I can even buy separate powder droppers and mount them on there and just slide them in on my Dillon. But they're about $90 a piece, so you don't want to do too much of that. of course, they're pretty elaborate, but well worth the money. But I hate to hear that, Steve. Yeah, mine are four die sets because I use a taper crimp die even on the 38s. And a roll crimp is fine on 38s, but on 9mm you need a taper crimp die. They just do a tremendous better job on automatic pistols when you got a taper crimp die.
What you mean? I know what you mean. Well, like I said, I've just got to get out there and see if I can find me a set of 38 357 knives. I'm just wondering, you know, a lot of times, a lot of the smaller shops, they don't stock as much, but a lot of times they don't do the volume, and some of the smaller shops around here might still have some of that kind of stuff. Hey, what are you using for your polish media? And are you using a rotary or a vibrator polisher?
It's a vibrator polisher, and Steve, I don't know without going back. I think it's the Lyman brand of stuff. I got a great big box. I wasn't in traffic here. I'm turning off of Wade Hampton here. I didn't know if that guy's going to run the light or not. But it does a fine job. I don't like to use anything that's a solid media because it might take a little bit off each time you tumble them. I don't tumble them very much because I don't shoot that often. But I have a considerable amount of brass, so let's say it that way.
Yeah, so what kind of media are you using in your vibrator?
Red. I don't know. It's kind of a brownish color stuff. And, Steve, I'd say it's probably walnut. I'm not positive. I haven't tumbled anything in the last, probably 6 months to a year. So it's in a box down there in a great big bag. And because I ordered a substantial quantity of it the last time. And I really can't tell you until I get home.
Yeah, and I think I figured out why you missed part of that back there. We passed each other. Probably overdrove the front ends on our radios when we passed. Yeah, if it's a real dark, dark brown, it's probably walnut. And if it's a lighter brown, it's probably corn cob. I'm trying, so, you know these little stainless steel needles? I'm trying some of that, and I don't know. I've got to get it perfected, the method. But I got a rotary, and I'm trying those little stainless steel needles. See how that does.
I don't think I would, because you could be taking off a layer of brass each time, but I doubt if it's anything dangerous or substantial. Don't get me wrong, but I would say this is definitely walnut. It's not corn cob media, I don't think. But then I got some white paste from Dillon's, and you put a little bit of that in there at the same time, and they come out like a shiny heel.
Hey, Tom, as far as taking something off of that brass, if I reload it, I track just how many times that stuff has been reloaded, and I never, just as a hard-headed rule, never reload a piece of brass more than three times.
Exactly right. Yeah. I haven't. I've just been doing it once and then pitching it. But I haven't I've never shot factory ammo on a gun in the last 50 years, other than to, you know, if I buy a box for self-defense, I'll proof it, you know, on a target, make sure it functions. But other than that, I did have to buy some factory 9mm because I bought a match Springfield Armory pistol a couple of years ago. And it just was really bad about not digesting my hand loads, but I was really bad about not trimming. And when you get a match barrel, you want to make sure that, you know, automatic pistol cases, they head space on the face of the case. And if you get them too short, you can blow a pistol up. So that was my fault. So I just went shooting hardball in that one, which I think I've shot every bit of, a half a box or a couple of clips. It was pretty, though.
Yeah. Well, hey, now, do you check the overall length?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they got to be within a thousandth. And lately, I've been going through a bunch of brass and trimming it. I tell you one thing I did, though, the other day. And it was a mistake. I trimmed the brass, I think it was to, stretching my memory, 944. It should have been 946 or something like that. But if you trim it, Steve, you just barely deburr it on an automatic pistol. You don't want to chamfer it, really. And so I deburr the ID and the OD. And then when you run it through your die, most people don't even consider it, but that stretches it 0.004 of an inch, just on the average. And so I figured I'd trim it just a couple of thousandths short of that, and then it would be right on the beanie. And I was going to try it in that match pistol. But I think I went 0.002 too much, but I don't think that'll make a big difference. It'll stretch that much the first time you shoot it.
See, this is another one of my little hard-headed personal things. I check my cases for overall length, and if they stretch, that tells me that the metal's getting a little thin, and it's just a personal thing. I know that I'm being a little bit over the top with it. It's a little bit ridiculous, but I won't trim. If I get one that gets long, out the door it goes.
Well, then, any factory ammo, you shoot once, you'll have to throw it away, because it will stretch, I'll guarantee you. I loaded some 270s once back in my neophyte days when I was starting out, and I went coyote hunting with one of our foremen and coyotes, and, we was driving down the country roads there in Kansas, and a coyote jumped up, and I shot one shot, and I started to eject that case. These are brand new spear brass, and I hadn't run them through the die, and that sucker was stuck. So new brass for high-powered rifles, size it before you ever use it, because it's not necessarily perfect. But anytime you shoot one, it's going to stretch some. There's just no getting around it. And factories are notorious for being hot.
Like I said, I'm really particular about my brass. So anyhow, well, in the meantime, I'm just about to detonate over here to get I gotta put a battery. I don't know if you heard me telling John this morning. I've got to put a battery in my little Saturn this morning. I got a 2008 Saturn with it's got 78,000 miles on it. And it's had the original battery and one replacement in 12 years, and now I'm going for the third battery. How long does a battery generally last you?
This is Gerald here. About 4 years is about right, Steve. Steve, and they've decreased the warranty on them anymore. And I guess they learned from experience. Yeah, I buy good batteries, but that's just about what it is. Now, our 2011, the car, I think it's been about 2 years since I put a battery in it. So it went longer than that. But on the average, I'd say a battery will last maybe 4, maybe 5 years. But I had a one-year battery in my old 53 Chevrolet truck years ago from Penny's. And it went for, I don't know, probably 7 years. And I went in there, and it was just wanted 1 year. And I went in and had them replace it. And guys, they were only about $13 or something like that back then, Steve. I was telling this guy, I think I need a new battery. And he took it out, and I said, is there any warranty on that? And he said, well, no, it's like 7 or 8 years old. And I said, yeah, you can't buy anything worth a darn anymore, can you?
John was telling me that he's got a Jeep that he's had a battery in it for 10 years. Sheesh. So, anyhow, I figured 6 years was doing pretty good on this car.
I think it is, Steve. That's exceptional. You can't gripe about that. It's just, I watch my batteries. I go out and top them off with water and clean the posts and that, just periodically. Maintenance, even my lawnmower, I just did that the other day. And the generator had a battery, was 3 years old. And I just swapped it out because that's something you don't want to take a chance on. Anyways, I'm here, Steve, and their bathrooms were closed at the doctor's office, so I got to get on inside. Have a good day and a safe day, Steve. And you can't be too safe on your cartridges. I'd never, never say you're wrong on that. 73s, KN4VWA, N0TR.
N0TR, KN4VWA. I'm clear, bud. I'm here at the battery place. Give them my money. Have a good afternoon. Clear.
Yeah, it'll shock you how much they went up, too, by the way. I think mine was like $150. Central TR clip.
QLQ, KG4PFI.
KG4QLQ?
Yeah, I have arrived up here, Lynn.
Okay, well, holler when you get out. I'll be waiting. Bye.
Okay, we'll talk to you a little later. KG4PFI clear.
KG4QLQ clear.